Welcome to the Path of Reason. My name is Adam, and this is podcast number 4. I just wanted to go over a little bit more as far as the review goes that I recently posted for Brian D. McLaren's Finding Faith, A Search for What Makes Sense. In his first chapter, I talked in the review about how he compares questioning the existence of God to calling out in the dark for someone. And I just wanted to read this one section I thought was interesting in regards to that. He says, "The call into the dark is, in that sense, circular, presupposing that someone is there, and more, someone who speaks my language, is predisposed to respond, is friendly, and whose acquaintance and response would be welcome. Significant presuppositions, to be sure. But that is our situation with faith. There is a risk involved. The risk of being wrong, in a certain circularity of needing to believe, however tentatively, certain things about God, such as God's existence and desirability, in order to begin searching for God. I think that this risk and circularity are inescapable. I can't see any way around them. Can you?" And further down he goes on to say, "We have acknowledged that logic alone will not get us into faith, but we have expressed a desire to make the leap into faith a sane, manageable, reasonable one." Now, anyone who has to suspend logic in order to get to a certain way of thinking, you can tell that there's obviously something flawed in that line of quote-unquote reasoning. The fact that he just blatantly says that right here in chapter 1 is pretty amazing to me. And how could he expect us to continue following him down this path of irrationality? I just don't understand it myself. In chapter 5, McLaren goes on to discuss the different stances that a person can take in regards to the existence of God, like atheism, agnosticism, and I was surprised that he actually mentioned agnosticism, which is actually a term coined by the late Sherwin Wine, who was the founder of the Society for Humanistic Judaism. But basically, McLaren, his idea of agnosticism is the attitude of, "I don't care, and I choose to remain ignorant on the matter of God's existence," which, as far as I understand, is at best a gross simplification and general misunderstanding of the term. The actual definition of agnosticism is that it basically conveys the idea that in order to question the existence of God, you first have to accurately define the meaning of God before you can coherently understand what it means to question the existence of God. So it's not so much just flat-out apathy towards the whole question of God's existence. It's more an honest evaluation of the question itself, and I think a better understanding of it overall. So it's unfortunate that someone like McLaren is perpetuating these misunderstandings and misinterpretations as far as these varying ideas of God's existence go. In chapter 7, the author talks about how God is more obvious, and he actually compares it to him raising his children. And he says here, "My desire to see them develop into unique people forces me to restrain myself, to not always give my opinion, to not step in and help every time they might ask for help, to not do their homework for them, but rather to help them develop by not helping sometimes. Similarly, if God's goal in the universe is for us to develop, for us to make unpressured choices, to become who we will be, not because the big guy is looking, but for other more natural, unforced reasons like courage, love, integrity, or justice, then perhaps God is forced to stay subtle, behind the scenes, present but not too obvious, involved but also ignorable, here but hidden." And then he goes on to quote C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters, where he says, "He wants them to learn to walk and must therefore take away his hand." And my question is, okay, but when is he ever holding our hand? And how are we supposed to know if he's holding it? And also another comparison is, you know, when people are ruled over by a king, do they still not follow the legal system? Do they still not act out of courage, love, and integrity? if we knew that there was a God, we wouldn't just be doing things to please him. We could still be ourselves. It's ultimately our choice. And then McLaren goes on to say that, he says, maybe God's very silence is actually intended to tell us something, revealing a God who listens and thus pays us the unmatchable compliment of attention, a God who wants to make room for us to live our lives without constant intrusion, interference, or domination, a God who wants us to have a life and not just be trivial accessories to God's own life. It's worth thinking about. Now, I guess I'll agree and say that's a nice and very pleasant idea to entertain, but it's strange how the different characteristics and qualities that he describes there are amazingly similar to something not being there. At this point, it just seems like it's philosophical babbling of a Christian pastor, which has no basis other than his own personal experience. And though I can understand where he's coming from because I was there at one point, it doesn't excuse it from honest, critical thinking. I still don't understand how these people can think this way and still think they have a sense of intellectual honesty. In the final chapter, chapter 8, McLaren talks about how there's different paths and do they all lead to the same God. And he gives one of his screening tools. He gives these four screening tools that he says he has applied in his search with good effect. So I decided to take one of my personal philosophies on life, which is humanism, and apply it to his four screening tools to see if it passes his test. So just to let you know, for anyone who's not clear or doesn't know that much about humanism, according to the American Humanist Association, humanism is a progressive life stance that, without supernaturalism, affirms our ability and responsibility to lead meaningful, ethical lives capable of adding to the greater good of humanity. Now, that's a basic definition. You'll find a ton more information about it if you go to AmericanHumanist.org. But anyways, I'll start with the first screening tool of McLaren's here, and it says, number one, does the belief make sense? Does it possess internal intellectual integrity and coherence? Does it fit reality as I know it? As a system of belief, does it hold water? Is the belief merely comforting or pleasant or helpful, or is it more? Is it probable, convincing, believable? Wow. If I didn't know any better, I would think he was describing humanism itself. So there we go, check one. Humanism passes that one. Now the second screening tool, number two, says, is the belief workable and livable? If everyone on earth held this belief, would the results be good? Does the belief lead to health and life and hope, or would it lead to self-destruction and despair? Again, obviously, humanism passes this test here. Number three, he says, do I want to associate with the people who profess this belief? Does the quality of their community life authenticate or undermine their message? Does their belief produce good fruit in their lives as individuals and as a community? Here I don't expect perfection, but I do expect honesty, forgiveness, love, unselfishness, acceptance, vitality. Again, all qualities humbly and completely embraced by humanism. Number four, if I affiliated with this group, would I feel comfortable bringing an interested friend to visit? I expect a healthy faith to be contagious, so I expect that I will have friends who want to visit whatever faith community I'm a part of, if it is indeed nurturing a healthy faith in me. Would they, wherever they're coming from, be as welcome as I am there? Would I be ashamed to bring them there, knowing the experience there would be for them incomprehensible, unwelcoming, offensive, or irrelevant? Okay, I don't really quite understand how that's supposed to help you understand if a faith or idea is valid or good. seems quite arbitrary if you ask me, but yeah, sure. Humanism is a completely inclusive philosophy on life. I'd be more than happy to invite someone to a humanist meeting and share in our acceptance of everyone for who they are, and the value and the quality of life for everyone is important. So, humanism, according to Brian D. McLaren's screening tool, passes with flying colors. Thank you for that. I am now completely confident in my beliefs here. But anyways, it was an interesting read, like I said. I'm actually quite interested to put out an open invitation for Mr. McLaren. If he's listening, feel free to join us. I would love to have a discussion / friendly debate. We're definitely not as abrasive here at Path of Reason as some of our fellow atheists, which, I mean, that's cool, that's their thing, but we prefer to just have more of a discussion about things and really try to gain something from each side of the conversation. And I know it's possible because Derek and I, over the summer, actually sat down with three Mormon missionaries, which was not as fruitful as I would have liked, but interesting nonetheless, and every time Derek and I were talking, they were apparently listening intently. I mean, I guess that's what they're trained to do, but they couldn't stop saying, "Oh, that's a really good question. That's a really good question. Oh, yeah, that's a really great question." And then they'd answer it and completely sidestep the point that we were trying to make. So, I don't know, maybe I can try that again and it'll turn out better. The next thing I just want to let everyone know about is recently the Rational Responders said that the Out campaign, the campaign started by Richard Dawkins, is allowing other atheist organizations to use the famous scarlet letter, it's like a big red A, design for their t-shirts and to sell to help support each individual organization. And we're joining in that and supporting the campaign, and hopefully as a means to supporting our site as well. You'll see a link on the right-hand side of the page of our website that will bring you to the Path of Reason store where you can actually purchase it. Looks just like the ones they currently have, except it says pathofreason.com on the bottom. So you show support for our site as well as support the campaign and Richard Dawkins and everyone associated with it. So be sure to check that out and let us know if you have any questions. If you want us to put it on more stuff or something, we can usually change it pretty easily. So the last thing I just wanted to let everyone know is coming up on November 13th at 8 p.m., PBS is actually showing a 2-hour documentary called Judgment Day, Intelligent Design on Trial. It's basically just about the Kitzmiller versus Dover case, and in which the teaching of intelligent design was ruled unconstitutional. So I think that's definitely worth checking out, and maybe we can have a discussion about it. And if anything, this helps educate people about it and will maybe shed some light on how ridiculous the debate is and how there really is no debate. So definitely check that out. We're still working on stuff as usual, as always. You can expect some more articles, interviews, reviews. Derek is actually going to be adding a lot more YouTube videos just so we can create a presence there and get involved, because there's a lot of interesting things going on there between Christians and atheists and not so interesting. So hopefully we can try and get into that and put our voice in there as well. Thanks for listening. I know this podcast is fairly new, but we appreciate your support and keep following the Path of Reason.